So let's read Matthew 1:18-25. This is the story of this is the telling of Joseph when Joseph has his dream, and maybe it's the fact that I'm a male, but I relate to Joseph a lot easier than I do to Mary. I don't know, but I can identify with Joseph, and I am humbled by Joseph. This scripture reads like this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Have you seen, for those of you on Facebook, have you seen the post that a lot of people are sharing that says something along the lines of, the first Christmas was simple, it's okay if yours is too. Something like that. Have you seen that one? I don't think that first Christmas was so simple. I think that's a very simplistic view of that first Christmas. And it may be rooted in some tradition. Confession time. I once dated a Catholic. I was young. I was naive. And talking with her mom, she, and this shocked me, she believes that the birth of Christ was, for Mary, pain-free. It just, she laid down in the straw and went, and there he was. And, oh, all clean, and that would truly be miraculous. But when we think about Jesus and the whole process of becoming human and taking on flesh with us, why would it be any different for him than it was for anyone else? The passage doesn't tell us here how Joseph found out about Mary's pregnancy, probably through Facebook. But we don't know. We don't know if the news was shared by Mary to Joseph with tears in her eyes and great anxiety over what would happen. We don't know if it was Mary's father or another relative. We don't know if it was a friend who heard it from a friend, That sounds like a song, doesn't it? Heard it from another. Okay. Did he find out when she returned from her visit with Elizabeth and was no longer able to hide the baby bump? Yeah, we don't know. We just don't know. But however it was, it had to have felt like a huge blow. I mean, just a punch in the gut. They were betrothed. And betrothal, as you probably know, betrothal wasn't like our modern day engagements, where a man and a woman pick a date and say, "Hey, everybody, we're getting married on that date. Come, and here's our bridal registry." It was much more serious. It was a contract. It was a covenant between the families. It was as binding as a marriage was. To end a betrothal required a certificate of divorce. The commitment was deep. It was huge. And then everything changed when Joseph found out. And I imagine Mary probably explained many, many times that this child didn't belong to another man, that this child was from God. Come on, guys. How many would take that one? Really? Yeah. I don't know. That would be tough. I believe in miracles, but that's a tough one. Joseph may have been a righteous man, but he was no fool. He knew how babies are made. And even though he grew up hearing stories of God intervening to give children to people like Abraham and Sarah and Elkanah and Hannah, it still involved a man and a woman. This had never happened before. She had obviously had an affair. Maybe she was raped and the trauma is affecting her thinking. Something's weird. The whole spectrum of emotions and the different explanations, I'm sure, probably kept him up more than one night. I'm sure it just drove him nuts. Now, he could have brought her to trial to decide if she was a victim or perhaps a participant in prostitution or had had an affair. He could have had her brought out of her home where she most likely was living with her parents to be stoned in front of the community, which was according to the law. And these actions would have been within his rights. We're big on our rights, aren't we? We scream and yell, we rant and we rave for our rights. I have a right to do this. This is legal. This is what the law says I can do. And nobody would have blamed Joseph for that. It's interesting in this section of the birth of the story of Jesus' birth, there's no angelic choir, there's no peaceful shepherds in the field. We don't see a halo sitting over Mary's head. This is not a sanitized nativity scene that we see this time of year. This is not a simple picture. This is messy. This is chaotic. This is awkward and hard to deal with. This is real life, and it involves real difficult decisions. It involves destroyed reputations, rumors, hardships. Jesus didn't come into a sanitized nativity scene. Rather, Jesus came into this very messy and chaotic and awkward, hard world through ordinary people called to do extraordinary things. Try to imagine being Joseph. It doesn't matter what Mary says, it would be difficult to believe, wouldn't it? I mean, you go through your options and you try to think, how do we deal with this? What's the next step? You know, and I think that most of us probably would have come to the same conclusion that Joseph did. It seemed like the good and practical thing to do. But those feelings of betrayal would be hard to work through long after the planned divorce that he had. Perhaps some of you have been there. Perhaps you know exactly how Joseph felt. So this marriage, this pending marriage, was not necessarily a marriage of love, as much as Hollywood would like to make us think it was. It was most likely a contract between Mary's family and Joseph, and he would have promised a certain amount of money, goods for Mary, and they would have shook hands on it, or whatever their ritual was for making such an agreement. And he wouldn't have to pay that money if he could prove that she had been unfaithful. His reputation in this whole mess could have been saved, and his side of the contract upheld if he had took her to trial to find out that she had been unfaithful to him. But despite this contractual relationship and this situation, he chooses a path least damaging, not to himself, but least damaging to Mary. And you need to consider this. He didn't think about what his choices, well, I'm sure he did think about it, but he placed her needs over his. A divorce, a nice, quiet divorce. It wouldn't prevent the rumors. It wouldn't settle things. I mean, there would still be a pregnancy, right? There would still be rumors. And there's a chance that people would always believe that they had broken the vow and gotten together sometime. But a quiet divorce would possibly give Mary a chance at just returning to her parents' home and living out her life. And it would have been difficult for her, but she would live. Joseph's act of mercy shows us that though he was a man committed to the law, he's also a man of mercy. He clearly has a love for Mary. He clearly cares about her. And whether his feelings toward her are romantic, it isn't really clear. But what is clear is that he cares enough about her to pursue mercy over justice. Righteous is often described as doing the right things for the right reasons. And this defines what Joseph had did. Despite the pain to himself, he wanted to do what was right for those involved. The passage tells us that an angel comes to Joseph in a dream. After he had made up his mind, he had resolved that he would divorce her. And when the decision is made in his mind, that's when the angel shows up. And this couldn't have been an easy decision to come to. But he's come to this conclusion. It seems to him logical and rational. No one's going to get hurt. But he's come to the conclusion, and then the angel shows up. And the angel tells him, takes his nice, logical, reasonable decision and trashes it. And says, do the exact opposite of what you want to do. Take her as your wife. Marry her. I bet he wasn't expecting that. It's funny how God does that to our plans, isn't it? And I think sometimes it's just so easy to brush it off and say, well, surely that wasn't the Lord speaking, because that's crazy. That's crazy. But Joseph wakes up, and he doesn't seem to hesitate to do what he's been told to do. And this is not a small thing to follow through with. Even after the dream, Joseph knew what this would mean. There would still be rumors. There would be huge rumors. The righteous Mary and righteous Joseph would be viewed as less than righteous by certain people. Can you imagine the gossip around the coffee shop about Mary and Joseph? You hear about that? Man! Wow, I thought they were such good kids. Oh, that Mary. Oh, can you imagine? Shameful. Reputations would be changed. Joseph's carpentry business may have even been blacklisted. You know? Here I thought he was a good, godly man, and he goes and does this. Yeah, I'm not doing business with Joseph Carpentry anymore. I would rather go to an inferior carpenter than to take my business to that dirty man after what he did to Mary. That's how we respond, isn't it? Right? But Joseph would claim this child who was not his as his own. Sorry. That's probably Joseph. You talking about me? Joseph would claim this child who wasn't his as his own. And while Joseph knew some of the immediate consequences of claiming this child as his, I don't think he really grasped the whole spectrum of what awaited him. I mean, having a child is a life-changing experience. How in the world do you prepare for the Son of God to come into your household as a baby? There's not a book on what to expect when you're expecting the Son of God. Joseph's commitment to the call of God to parent this child was an adventure into unknown places. No one had done this before. And yet he also would have grown up with the Hebrew scriptures and what the prophets had said. He'd know, and he would have known that this road would not be easy. The call on his life was stronger than Joseph's desire to flee. And even after the angel appeared, he could have left, but he didn't. Joseph desired to follow God, even if that meant running right into a big, huge mess. We tend to avoid messy situations when we have a choice. Joseph challenges that for us. All of his previous plans for his life with Mary have suddenly changed, and yet he still chooses to follow. But God is faithful. Oh, people, if you're ever going to say amen to whatever I preach, say amen to that. God is faithful. When God calls you into a mess, you can be sure that he will be in that mess with you. Joseph is even told what to name the child. Jesus. Yahweh saves. The name Jesus fulfills the promise that God has heard the cries of his people. Jesus will save the people from their sins. The naming of a child in their culture illustrates Joseph's claiming Jesus as his own. And claiming a child as your own, regardless of parentage, is just as binding as if they were your biological child. This was an adoption without any distinctions. From that point forward, he was Joseph's child. There's another name for Jesus that's given, Emmanuel, God with us. God is entering the world to be present with humanity in the mess. We've often talked about this difficult period of the history for the Jews, how tough it was. They were under the oppressive Romans in their own country. They were taxed like crazy. Their religious structure was corrupt and intertwined with the politics of the day. They had foreign soldiers walking their streets. And not only was the political climate difficult, it was just generally a hard time to live. One of the most common cause of death for women in that day was childbirth. And yet, this was the method chosen by God through which Christ would enter the world. Simple injuries could cause infection and death. Poverty was rampant, and survival for the commoner was dependent on back-breaking work. And Jesus comes right into this difficult, messy world. God comes into the mess. Our world today is still a messy place. While some of us live what we could call comfortably, not everyone does. Even in America, children go to bed hungry. Drug and alcohol addiction is a major problem. Relationships are falling apart. Politics has gone insane. The church, scattered and fragmented and wounded at best. There's wars, there's poverty, there's diagnoses we don't want to get, there's death, there's families broken apart. We're very busy, probably too busy. Life is hard. There's so much in our world that's hard. And yet God is still God with us in this mess. Advent is about our anticipation of Christ's birth and his return. But it is also a time for us to look for where God is at work now in our world, in our mess. We sometimes can't see the work of God in our world because we're so focused on everything that's bad. But God is still God with us in the beautiful moments. When people share When people put others before self. When people choose the hard work of peace over conflict. Forgiveness over pride. When the gospel is shared to those who need to hear, God is with us. One of the ways that God wants to be present in our world is through us. God with us, through us. I've experienced that in these last months. I have had times when it literally feels like I am there being comforted by God. Just like God used Joseph, God wants to use us, each and every one of us. We won't be the parents of the Son of God. It's been done. Doesn't need to happen again. But we're able to follow the call of God, even if it means taking the messy and difficult path. We can focus on mercy over law. We can focus on love and obedience over what it means to maintain our reputation. We can embrace the mess in our lives and still trust that God wants to use us. Joseph was just an ordinary man trying to follow God to the best of his ability. And it led him on a wild and messy adventure of raising the Messiah. But the God who called Joseph on this wild adventure is still in the business of calling us to wild and messy adventures that reveal God with us, Emmanuel, in this world. This is a great time for us to look at where God is at work and to ask what God is calling us to do in the midst of it all. You probably won't get an angel dream. If you do, call me. I'm very interested. But you might get a dream in your heart that just won't go away. It might be a hard dream. It might be a dream that asks you to forgive. It might cause you to give up popularity for the sake of love. It might cause you to do other hard things. It won't be easy. It wasn't easy for Joseph. But you'll get to be a part of the great story of the work that God is continuing to do in the world. Do you know that after that passage in Luke, where Jesus is 12 and they travel to Jerusalem to the temple and then parents leave and Jesus isn't with them. Remember that? Do you know that's the last we hear of Joseph? He just kind of, nobody knows what happens to him. His name isn't big and bold out there. Like Mary, he's not seeking fame when he chooses to follow this path that God has for him. I mean, if we want fame, if we want recognition, then don't follow God. Go to Hollywood or something, you know. But you're not going to find it walking with the humble. You're not going to find it. Okay, odds are you're not going to find it doing the everyday hard things that God calls us to do. God is at work. And God wants to do that work, some of that work, through us. It's still God that changes hearts. It's still God that draws people to Christ. It's still God who does the saving. But you know, and I know, that God uses ordinary people like you and me every day to prime the pump, to water the seed, to plant the seed, to do the work of love and grace and mercy. And when we allow God to do that, when we say yes to that dream that God gives us, then we'll get to remind people that God is with us, even here in the mess. Even here in the mess. Let's pray. So many times, Lord, I think about when I have chosen conventional wisdom and ease over perhaps what you would have had me do. I seek my own way. I seek my own path because it's easy for me. And Joseph reminds me, Lord, that that's not always your way. So God, I pray that that you would be speaking to me, to us. Oh, Lord God, we want to experience Emmanuel, God with us. And we want to open ourselves up to have Emmanuel working through us for your glory. And yeah, we may not have a visit from an angel. We may not have a miraculous birth in our house. Yet, Lord, we also know that you do incredible miracles in simple everyday acts of love and forgiveness and mercy. Lord, help us to put ourselves aside and to do what is best for others. Thank you, God, for including Joseph in this story. Thank you for the challenge that he presents to me. And I pray, Lord, for each of us that we would seek to do your will above all else. Father, we pray that you would be with our friends and our loved ones far and near this holiday season. Pray, Lord God, your great peace would settle and rest in our houses, in our hearts, as we gather with family and friends. And we do pray, Lord God, for our Tuesday night service, for Christmas Eve, when we come together to worship you and celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. We give you all the glory and honor and praise, for you alone, Lord Jesus, are worth it. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that you would invade our hearts and sanctify us, that we might be holy. and pleasing to the Father. And we ask these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.